But it wasn't Brownie's daddy. Now, I've never known of anyone getting married over here. You don't have to go through all that rigmarole.
No, but do people get together?
Oh, they stay together, they are together.
Yeah.
If they're happy to, you know, write for each other. But nobody in their right senses will want to get married over here. At least it wouldn't be torture.
Yeah.
No, marriage isn't just a ceremony, it's two people who are blending together in harmony and understanding. You know, it's much more than just getting a splash in the church. I don't know, people got some funny ideas about marriages.
And they change their partners over there, is that or
not? What do you mean, what do you mean by changing partners? Anyone been at the last wolf?
You're on phone this morning,
dear. Well, I mean, if people are not right for each other, then I'll just say they're not together. And you do get people who are like, well, two halves.
Yeah.
And they're not complete until they're one.
Yeah.
But that's much more rare than common.
There's a
harmony
of souls,
isn't
there?
I mean, let's face it. Some men get married, have three different wives. And some nationalities have umpteen concubines and all that, don't they? And you might as well say which one are they with. Probably not with any. By the time they get here, they run things. No, I'm not, but all this business about marriage. I think it's so much deeper. I mean, if two people are obviously happy together, have much in common, and they're both making a contribution one to the other in their development and evolution, marriage is a much more serious thing than so many people seem to think. It's not just marrying and having babies and giving my woman a kick in the bucket. I mean, it's a mental and spiritual thing, much more than a physical thing. And if many people are mentally and spiritually as one, then obviously they'll be together. But people don't see marriage as you do on this side. There's nothing to hold a person in a physical sense. If you're held to somebody, it's purely because of the spiritual realization that the two of you are as one. And you have the same motives and ideas and outlooks, and you're aspiring together to achieve not just yourself either, but for others. You forget yourself in love. Real love is a marvelous thing, but basically people know what it's all about. Anyway, I don't really come to that. My mum and dad have got married, but they need a body. I mean, there are people who want to be happy and ideally related, as you call it. But even then, they may not necessarily be together. They may decide on this side not to be together. That may be there's a very good reason. And they wish to experience in another direction or go to a different. But again, two people can be very much in harmony and blended, and yet still not be together on this time. They may meet from time to time. People get this idea about, I don't know, eternal bliss in a state of, I don't know what, where they're together for eternity. It all sounds nice, but it's not very rational. It's not until you lose yourself, you begin to find yourself. And you begin to realize that man is just much, so much more than he thinks he is, and that you're not exactly tied in any one direction or to any one person. It's when you loosen the bonds and the shackles, I don't mean just marriage I'm talking about, you begin to open up and perceive that you're all part of the same spirit. It's not just necessarily being a half with somebody else, making a complete whole. It's that you are the mighty something in the Great Cosmos field, and in a sense you have to play a very important role, but it's not until you begin to open up and understand that you realize how vast it all is. And when you try to tie yourself in any shape or form, you are to some extent complicating the hermit system of an outlook. You've got to realize that you're part of a tremendous, well, something so enormous that your mind can't grasp it really, but it's the same spirit, the same power, and everyone is part of it, a minute part, and yet can develop and become a huge part. You must never sort of make yourself feel that you are restricted in a certain direction or with a certain one person. Given and taking marriage does not exist here as you understand it, but probably for millions of times in life you may be caught up with another one person, but you'll still be caught up with innumerable souls, probably millions of souls on different levels, and you're all helping each other to work out your own salvation, to have you that work. To confine oneself in another sense is wrong. I wish we could forget the thought. I don't know how I could explain it. I'm not caught up with any one person. And that's unbeginnable because I've never been married, and sometimes marriage is necessary, and sometimes it isn't necessary. On your side, and some people can expand more quickly and feel more service outside of marriage. And for some people it's necessary. I just think that people haven't grasped the reality of these things, and they try to bring everything down to a material level. We live in a world which is so vast that you couldn't find words to fit to describe it. That's why we're at a loss when we come back and you say so and so, or ask this or that, and we have to try and bring it down to your level for you to grasp it. Of course people stay together, of course people are together, if they're happy, and if they can pursue their future, if you can put it like that, on this side, in loving service to humanity, they expand their knowledge and their experience, they widen the horizon, as you might say, but as you evolve, you realize that you're less and less, in a sense, caught up or tied up within one individual. You're all embracing your outlook and your attitudes, and I wish I knew how to put it into words. You don't know how to describe it. I mean, no matter how happy two people are in your world, there are still aspects of their nature or parts of their personality that don't blend, that don't sort of correspond. And you learn to accept this, of course, and you're tolerant, and you make excuses. But these are only the beginnings, and only the initial stages of the evolution of the people in question. And you begin to adjust, and you begin to expand when you come here. And you may be, and you know that will be, with that certain person you've done, for what I suppose you could say, an indefinite period of time comes into it, but we're not subject to time. You lose all the worth of self and the material aspect of self, and you open up your vision to horizons far removed, and really, quite frankly, you become more and more, I suppose you'd say, perfected, and yet there's always something left to strive for and experience, and sometimes it can be done in cooperation with another one person, sometimes it can be done or has to be done on one's own, sometimes it's done in cooperation with untold numbers of other people. One's evolution is such a slow process that you're hardly even aware of it happening, in a sense. And that's why, to some extent, people seem stationary or stagnant, whereas they're not really. All the time movement has taken place, change, but it's so subtle. all the time you're living in your world, you're changing. You're not now what you were yesterday, completely and wholly so. And the subtleties in changing your physical body is the subtleties of which possibly you're not conscious of as yet, in your outlook and your makeup and your temperament. There are many things that are happening, but the subtleties are so that you can't perceive them. And this happens when marriage, as you tell, is concerned, or living with one person, or being in love with one person. And there are many kinds of love, many forms of love. You can be in love, or you can have a great affection of a girl who loves someone. People talk loosely about love. A lot of people don't even know what love is. They think they know, but they've got a material conception of it. I mean, there are so many aspects of yourselves that you're not aware of while you're existing and living in your world. You talk easily and often glibly, if you like, about certain things or certain feelings or emotions. But you know that you can never express yourself, what you feel deep down within you, to another person, no matter how close, how deeply involved or in love you are with that person. There's so many aspects of your inner self that you cannot depict or describe or find words to make another person understand. All you can do is put an outward show and a facade, or whatever you like to call it, of yourself. You depict things, you describe things, you demonstrate in various ways your affection or your love, but you're still only scratching, as it were, the very surface of things, the depth which you feel, the depth which you know, the depth which you have within you. You can't even begin to make it aware of consciousness and want. And when you come here, you realize these things. You, for the first time, possibly, you are in love. Now, this is a funny statement. I'm not saying you're not in love when you're on earth with someone. You can be very happily in love. But it's not until you come here that two people concerned who were in love on earth realize what the depth was of that love. Because here you begin to perceive in a greater way than ever you could have done on earth many of the subtleties that were hidden. Many of the things that you couldn't depict or describe are revealed. Here, the you sense things much more intensely about each other. You're much more conscious and aware. Your emotional field is wider, and your expressions of your feelings and emotions are in consequence much more visible or violent. You know, I just feel that people haven't grasped the immensity of self. What the self is, what it can do, what it can express, is limited on earth. It must be limited. But over here there are no limitations. That's why there's a greater freedom of expression, a greater possibility of going forward, and a greater understanding. Often things have mystified you or puzzled you in many different directions when on earth gradually unfold themselves. They don't necessarily happen immediately. The scales don't fall from your eyes straight away. But gradually you begin to see further. You begin to feel more deeply. You begin to sense things that you could never sense on earth. And then as you sense them, so they become visible. They take on an aspect of outward appearance. Things that were hidden, things that were mysterious, become gradually made clear. You know, whatever we say to you, we are limited to some extent by the material things appertaining to your lives. That's why when we come to you, we have to be restricted to a certain extent by the very conditions that are created. That's why when you sit, you can completely forget yourselves or all your desires or what you anticipate are my hope for. If you can say to yourselves, well, we want to get on to the highest possible level that we can of spiritual awareness and consciousness, drifting away from material things temporarily, we can come on certainly a much better level, or shall we say we can tune in a much better way, and our field of vision is wider from making contact with you, and we can express my doubt more clearly, more justifiably, the things that we wish to provide and attaining to ourselves and our lives and our way of life and our experience. In other words, to some extent, it is so to say that people in any field of activity or any conditioned life, whether it is in your world or this, to some extent, limit themselves until you are, you know, upgrade yourselves. We cannot give you a clearer picture than we do. We may try, but with your help and cooperation and your understanding, and your temporarily shutting the door on material things and the concerns of the material world, and lift yourselves mentally and spiritually temporarily to the level of the consciousness that we have, or are aspiring to give to you, nothing is impossible then. The limitations can be broken down, the receiving from delays, as it were, of pure aspiration, and our desire to fulfill the task that we've set ourselves to do. I think it's true to say that people, unconsciously perhaps, many of us do, limit what we might achieve with them and through them. The power of the spirit is enormous. It knows no bounds, no limitations. But we are limited by the very conditions that are created by you in your material world. It's not easy for you. We don't expect wonders. We don't expect to be able to achieve many things that we'd like to do. We don't blame anyone, and we never condemn, but at the same time, we do realize, and you should realize, that when you come into a room like this for contact and communication, for upliftment and spiritual unfoldment and realization of the purpose of being, then it's up to you to discard as best you can, or shape from you, the things that hold you back, so that we have a better opportunity of joining together in a harmonious whole, and that we are no longer individuals. We are all caught up together in one power, as one in spirit and in truth. When you separate yourselves, then our work is harder, our task is more difficult. But when you come together as a complete unit. And then we can really work with you and through you and help you, guide you and uplift you and inspire you and do all sorts of wonderful things which so far we haven't been able to do or achieve. But most people attend circles or go to meetings without perhaps fully understanding or realizing, even with the best intentions, oftentimes they're self-centered. It's natural and human, and in the early stages, when you're seeking and inquiring, of course you want personal conviction, and you want personal proof, and linking up with someone you've known and loved. This we understand. But there comes a point in time when you realize it's more than that, that the person you've known and loved is also co-mingling with enormous numbers of souls on this side. We are all working together in a harmonious way, not just for one person, but for all humanity. When you come here now, when you come as you do, in harmony and in love, you're not so personally seeking as you once were. And although you still love the one person that's here in the room with you, there is a wider realization of the meaning of what everything we're trying to achieve and do. And so it is for the person you know and love that is present. We are all, as it were, casting off gradually some of the shackles and the ties that have bound us. And we are renewing our strength and our vitality and ourselves with a greater warmth and understanding of a unity and brotherhood and the power of love in its fullest sense. No longer is it a narrow love or a confined love. It is a love that has outsoured all the material aspects and desires and the physical realizations or the things which have touched in some way have held you back rather than brought you forward. The love that you born, the people that you know that are here, has brought you to us. But it's also opened up wider realizations that lie ahead. In that love, and the strengthening of that love, and the bursting of the bonds, if you like, of that love, you have released yourselves in love to a greater understanding of what love is all about. No longer is it a selfish love, as it might once have been, not more is it a confined love, with another conception. It is a wider thing, an all-embracing thing. You are beginning to realize that you are part of a great brotherhood of love, in which all peoples are concerned, and all are working together to open up wider horizons of spiritual understanding and progression for all God's children. In other words, you started to serve in love, to forget self in love, and to open up the doors that have been shut through ignorance. And the house of God is open to you, and the power in that house is enormous. And it is in that house you find your peace, and your happiness, and the tranquility of the spirit, and the opportunity to serve, and to do, and to know, to realize, and to understand the meaning, and the purpose of being. We find love through touch, in a strange way, and love for one other person. But they are the key which is put in the door, and it is this door that is opened by that love. This is what you try to see, that everything that they are doing is to bring you together in a greater harmonious way, so that you can break down the barriers that have been built over the centuries through wrong thinking and wrong teaching, breaking the shackles and the chains of orthodox teachings which hold men down, so that you may be free to see and to know and understand the purpose of being, why you were brought into the world, and the purpose of being in that world, and filled it up. You are brought into the higher realization of these things. If only people can see that our main purpose is not only to help you individually, but to help you collectively, to help you to find, through your unhappiness often, and your desperation, and your what you term your separation from someone you have known and loved, that we are bringing to you through that sadness and sorrow and heartache, a realization of the meaning behind it all. All must die to live. All must suffer to appreciate and find peace, an understanding, and the realization of what it means to be at peace in the oneness and the quietude of the spirit which we can bring to you and we can give to you, we can strengthen you, we can take away the fear and to some extent, materially, the unhappiness that you feel, the loneliness. When you see yourself not as you think you see yourself, or the one you've known and loved, but as you really are. Individual, yes, with your own personality, still, with all perhaps many of the things that have meant so much to you where another one is concerned, and yet wider, bigger, fuller, with a greater understanding and a greater realization. No longer is it a matter of confined love. No longer is the person just as you remember that person, but a much deeper and a much fuller person, with a greater depth and a greater beauty of character and personality, and a greater joy in our hearts. Our hearts sing with love. And if we could depict in words what our life is like, what the lives are like of the people you've known and loved, if you could see and understand the joy in their hearts, the joy in their lives, the happiness they have found in love and in service, in doing many things which are beyond your comprehension. If you could see their joys and their happiness and their peace, you would sing too. you wouldn't be depressed and unhappy. I know it's human and natural to grieve, but the grief would be taken away. And you'd know how wonderful it is that there's a privilege to come before you. Death is not something to fear, but something to rejoice in, something to look forward to. It's human running on earth, the physical side of self, I suppose, to cling and to fight against the possibility of coming here before, as some people say, your time. But what is time? It's the biggest illusion of all. And often those who die young. There is a reason. There is a purpose. I know that sometimes there's things that happen that people just don't understand. And quite understandably, they rail against what they call fate. Or if they're inclined religiously, they accept in a kind of dumb way. And they are still puzzled and say, why does God permit this? But everything that happens in some shape or form, without realizing it, man brings upon himself. You have a war, and untold millions of people die, many suffer, many are maimed, the hatred and intolerance of war. And man has created this situation, which makes all this happen. You might say, well, if for instance, this is someone who is completely innocent in every sense, and that they might have a terrible illness that's happened a great deal, it all seems illogical. And yet everything that happens in your lives, in your world, there is a reason. And everything has been brought into being by man himself. I know there are things that some people can't accept in regard to this, but it's true. Generations of human beings have sown seeds, which may not come into fruition, or come into flower, or whatever it is, perhaps in a couple of centuries. It may seem illogical to study the sins of the fathers fall on the children, and yet it is not illogical. These things do happen. Once you realize that you are all part and parcel of each other, you are all of the same spirit, and it is a fluidic mind, if you like, that affects all human because you're going to be like creating difficulty sometimes. Others will create great harmony, and the music swells and has a wonderful power. But those few and far between, most people haven't realized the tremendous possibility within themselves. If only they could see that life is an enormous truth. But you have to take the time, and you have to sacrifice them to give. You cannot do it selfishly. You have to learn how to do it cooperatively. You see, if we can understand the level, which we can do in a selfless nature, obviously more energy, more vitality, more power is taken, although it will be reduced. But I want to say, and not only me, others eventually want to say many things which we feel could be of great value and great help to humanity. We know that perhaps only a minute number of people should be listening, or even begin to want to listen or understand. But of course our job is to comfort people. It's vital, important, it's essential. But we long for opportunities where we can, as far as it's in our power, to go into depth on many aspects of life, and many aspects of our world here, and things are pertaining to us. But we have to have the right conditions and the people who are prepared to give, and not be concerned with material things or material messages. That's why you're a good circle, that one, you know. You take your leg, I mean, I wish I knew how to even begin to describe him. I mean, it's natural, but it's very difficult. You obviously can only think of your son as you remember him, and the happy times you had together, and the giggles you had over such stupid things or silly things, and sometimes the sadder aspects and the problems that you had. And you see, you only can visualize quite likely and naturally your boy as you remember him and the various aspects of his personality and your associations together from birth to the time he left you. That is for you, your son, in the land, if you like. It's as if you can fill in to some extent, and yet you're still left not really knowing him. I know this sounds strange to say, and this applies to every human being that has been loved. You know someone very well. You know their idiosyncrasies and their little quirks of nature and character and personality. You know that there are some aspects of their character which could have been better. You accept a person for their good and their bad points and qualities, and you love them, sometimes even in spite of themselves. But you still don't really know that person. You know that person to a point or to a degree. But there are subtleties that you cannot appreciate or understand, that you've never tapped. There are resources that have never been touched in a human being. The problems of materialism are such that many people can never, ever hope to say fully what they feel, or depict or describe what they are, or what they know about themselves that cannot be revealed, even if they wanted to. If love is blind, be the same. And thank goodness it is, because if it weren't mine, very few people would laugh. You know, you see, there's so many ways in which one can try to understand and delve and find out and dig and research what is there about each one of us. You know me to a point. You know the varying moods. Sometimes I come and I say dark things, silly things, sometimes even rude things. Sometimes I make you giggle, make you laugh, sometimes I keep you in fits or stitches. Another time I can be serious and I can... There are many aspects of oneself, but you still don't really know me. You know little parts of me. And this is what you know about the people you love. This is why love will always overcome all things. When you come here, you'll be closer to your son than you've ever been when on earth, and he will be closer to you, and you'll see each other much more fully. You see, over in your world, it's as if you've got a facade, and you to some extent can control that facade. And sometimes you can say one thing and mean something else. Sometimes you can be smiling at a person, and yet deep down you're not feeling a bit like smiling, and you're putting on a face. People put on a face. They have to learn how to put on a face in your world. It's one of the tragedies of your world, that you have to try to put on a face, to hold yourself together, to keep yourself whole, to struggle against all sorts of things that happen that you don't even want other people to be conscious and aware of. Indeed, I think it's true to say that to some extent, everybody is living a lie. Very few people are completely honest, even if they want to be, they can't be. You see, if only you could see yourselves as we see them, and we love you for all your weaknesses, and we love you for your strength, and above all, we love you because you're struggling. And when a person is struggling, everyone who has heart, and we all have that, want to help you. We sometimes see humanity as if they're like drowning people who've been shipwrecked. They thought they were going on a beautiful voyage and everything was going to be marvelous. And suddenly something happens and the ship begins to go down and they're lost. They can't swim. They make the attempt and they're struggling in the water of life. We look upon humanity as struggling to survive. And what seemed when you started out to have been a wonderful voyage, it's full of disillusionments and disappointments. Things don't turn out quite the way you think. And it's a struggle and a fight to reach the shore. And the shore is the realm of the spirit, where you'll be welcomed with open arms. But all the time you're struggling in the water, we are there, and we are trying to lift you out and to help you, to keep your head above water, trying to teach you, make you realize the tremendous power of love that supports you, sustains you. Don't get too depressed, don't get too down. Try to realize that behind all the darkness, there is the light. Try to realize that there is the sun that will come forth and illuminate the path. I know it sounds, in fact it's so difficult to put what one feels, but we love each and every one. No matter if they themselves perhaps give the impression, and often they do, of being, well, not a very nice person, if you like. It is our task to help those whose need is greatest. You have seen some light, you have been lifted out of the darkness, and we must struggle to help others, even those, and there are many, whose need is much greater than yours. And you must do in your part what you can to help them. You know, it's so easy to condemn, so easy for you to say, oh, I wouldn't want to know him, I can't be bothered with her. Well, this is human and natural, but often the person which you despise most or dislike most is the person who needs the greatest help. And this is where I've actually been doing a great deal. Try to put your personal dislike aside and try to lift them out of the mire. I think that when you start to realize the tremendous possibility within yourself, the higher you climb, the more necessary it is to hand out help to those on the long run. And often a person will climb and fall back a step or two because they're weak and they haven't the strength. We're very anxious that you should help all humanity, and particularly those who sometimes perhaps you feel, well, you couldn't care too much about. It's easy to help those you love. It's easy to help those you like. But the people whose help you should give, I mean, the people to whom the help you should give are the ones who, quite frankly, you've got no time for. They're the ones who need you most. And I feel so strongly about all these things that you've come together in love and in harmony and in peace. You have an opportunity that others have not had or may not have. Share it with them. And if sometimes you get cross or irritated or annoyed and they don't want to listen, all right, you can't keep on banging your head against the old brick wall, but nevertheless you can keep on trying as best you can. Once you start to give, and I know that most of you do give in some degree or other, and I'm not talking about material giving and material things, but giving of yourselves in love. It's easy, as I said, to love the one that means so much to you, whether it's your wife or your husband or your son. But to love humanity, to love somebody perhaps who perhaps in some way even revolts you, this is real love. Like the Good Samaritan on the road, who was anxious to get on with his journey and saw those sitting by the wayside, the people who had been neglected and who were covered with sores and couldn't walk any further. They had no strength or health in them. The Good Samaritan stood by the wayside and gave them help and comfort and strengthened them and wouldn't go on until they were able themselves to make the attempt. It's easy to go forward when you don't bother about anybody else. And you don't look left or right, and you don't see because you don't want to see. This is not progressing. Lots of people seem to progress, seem to achieve, seem to become successful, either materially or even spiritually. There are lots of people in your world who are considered spiritual leaders. They've reached the top. But on their way of getting there, how many of them neglected? How many have they ignored? How many perhaps have they ridden over to achieve that ambition? In other words, what you must do is, in desiring to reach a high level of spiritual consciousness and awareness, you won't reach it by being self-centered. You'll only reach it by standing still, temporarily, to help someone less fortunate. And when you forget yourself, then you'll start to evolve, and then you'll start to perceive the reality of the spirit and what its power can do and what it can achieve. And then it will transform you, and you'll really make headway on the journey of life. I just love each and every one of you, and I just want us all to be in harmony and to realize the great possibility that we have together in striving together to serve and to do God's will for His children. But you only do it when you do it in a collective sense. You must forget self in service. And when you forget self, you find your true self, which is the spiritual self. Anyway, I must go as the power goes. But my love and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Making your oration today, wasn't it?